America Weekend.
This is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. A regular contributor each week is long-range meteorologist Jim Witt, who is the man behind the weatherwiz.com. Jim, let's talk about tornadoes, shall we?
Okay. You know, Mike, last week we talked about the shortwave ridges and troughs and how they were associated with small weather systems like the cold front. We also discussed how a shortwave trough, a pocket of cold air, when moving through a longwave ridge, which is a pocket of warm air, would flatten the ridge and make it basically invisible. Then, when the shortwave moves eastward out of the ridge bounces up, while the trough would dig sharply into the next downstream longwave trough. This would deepen the trough dramatically and set the stage for rapid and massive storm development at the surface of the Earth. Major snowstorms occur this way. The storm waits for the shortwave trough to hit it, and when it does, bombogenesis occurs. Bombogenesis, that's a term meteorologists use to describe explosive storm development. Now, as you said, Mike, this week I'd like to venture into a situation that can be very costly, both property-wise and loss of life. We examine the tornado. This is usually a rather small storm, but extremely violent. Tornadoes generally affect an area only perhaps maybe a mile wide. However, it can move along the earth for many miles, affecting all those located in its path. Tornadoes usually develop from severe thunderstorms. Usually it goes like this. Hot and humid air exists in the Gulf of Mexico states. Cold air comes racing south from Canada. Meanwhile, dry air is filtering into the area from the west, coming downslope from the Rocky Mountains. The mixture of hot, moist air with cold, dry air, plus the infusion of air from the west, makes the atmosphere extremely unstable. So the severe thunderstorms develop, and then you see a spinning funnel. Some funnels never touch the ground. Others do. A lot of study is being devoted to the dreaded tornado. Great advances have been made, but much is unknown. Now, during the month of February, tornadoes begin affecting the states bordering the Gulf of Mexico. As March and April approach, tornadoes begin to develop in Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska area, and surrounding states. Come the month of May and June, it's common to see tornadoes ripping across the landscapes of Iowa, Missouri, Minnesota, even the Dakotas. It's safe to say, however, very few places in the United States never experience a tornado. Now, during the spring and summer, it's not out of the question that a tornado touches down in the Northeast. Unlike tornadoes in the Gulf states, the Midwest tornado usually is a very short duration in the Northeast. Some funnels just skim the ground. Others remain on the ground for only a few minutes. Tornadoes out west, where the ground is flat, why, they can stay alive for an hour or more, causing devastation everywhere in its path. Some tornadoes travel hundreds of miles, knocking down huge trees, telephone poles, wires, throwing cars and trucks around like they were toys, even flattening buildings. Many people living in these areas, of course, that are prone to tornadoes, construct storm cellars in order to survive. Stories about tornadoes are quite common. Unfortunately, many of them are true. We hear about a baby being ripped from a mother's arms and found a few blocks away with only a few scratches and bruises. We hear of cars and huge trucks being carried high in the sky, being whirled around in the funnel, finally coming down to earth as the tornado weakens. One man went into his storm cellar. His dog was following. As the tornado went overhead, the dog was sucked out of the cellar into the tornado, never to be seen again. So, what should you do if a tornado is heading for your area and you don't have a storm cellar? cars are not safe. Holding on to a tree is no solution. The best thing one can do is find a structure. Now, if you're close to home, get into your house. If you have a cellar, go down into the cellar and stay away from windows. If your house has no cellar, and many do not, get into the center of the house, again, away from windows. If you can, get on the floor, perhaps under a bed. Some have suggested even getting into a bathtub, and if possible, covering yourself with something to protect you from falling objects. Do not, I repeat, do not go outside to take pictures of tornadoes. Many a life has been lost doing that. Now, next week, I'll discuss another killer storm, the dreaded hurricane.
Thanks, Jim Witt. I'd love to hear what you have to say. Send me an email at MikeAW@MikeBennettRadio.com. That's Mike, A-W, like America Weekend. That's MikeAW@MikeBennettRadio.com. And you can also find me on Twitter, at MikeBennett11. That's at MikeBennett11. And with Jim Witt and TheWeatherWiz.com, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Hall of Famer caught the second most games in Major League history. He's an 11-time All-Star, and fans will always remember his electrifying home run for the Red Sox in the 1975 World Series.
There it goes, a long drive. If it stays fair, home run.
So where is Carlton Fisk now? Carlton has had his number retired by both the Red Sox and the White Sox. And he saw a bronze statue of himself unveiled outside U.S. Cellular Field in Chicago. Carlton spent a season coaching at Illinois State, and he's been a White Sox team ambassador. He's also endorsing Pepsi Max, a change from his old ads.
I'm Carlton Fisk. I've joined the millions of guys who use smokeless tobacco.
And millions of Red Sox fans still enjoy seeing that ball stay fair. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Disable the cable with MyTV. Call 888-759-MYTV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. New Yorker magazine's Elizabeth Colbert has published an article suggesting our energy problems will be solved through some radical new invention just around the corner. She cites the historical problem of old London and New York last century when horse-drawn carriages and mounted police filled the streets. At that time, cities became covered in horse dung. It became a real pollution problem with little they could do without banishing all the horses. They knew they couldn't get rid of the ebb and flow of horse traffic responsible for getting goods and services to and fro, plus people quickly across surface streets, particularly in inclement weather. So how was this solved? Along came the car, and away went the horses. Same thinking now. Along will come something, and away will go the need for fossil fuels. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at GoHarrison.com.